الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقالوا الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله صدق الله العظيم. In this verse Allah Tabarak Tala speaks about the situation that will be when the people of this world will be entering into paradise, Jannah. So at that time there will be one sentence on the tongue of everyone, and that is Alhamdulillah. That had Allah not shown us this path, we would never have found it. So what we find at the moment is that why a person has so much of shahwat, desire, problems, worries, is because majority of the world haven't understood that what they carry. A person, he went to a certain murabbi, a sheikh, and he asked him for some things that he needed. And he explained to him, I got this desire. I can't stay away from evil. I can't do this. I can't do that. Like how everyone, whoever makes ta'alluq with the sheikh, normally the first thing they ask the sheikh, you got a phone number, you got a WhatsApp. Thereafter, if that sheikh makes the mistake and ever gives his phone number, that sheikh's life is finished. Because the murid, he doesn't understand that the sheikh is a normal man. He thinks he's an angel. So 2 o'clock at night when the murid can't sleep, he'll phone the sheikh. He say, I can't sleep. The sheikh was sleeping, but now the sheikh can't sleep. One person, he couldn't pay his debt. So he's walking up, down. So the wife said, what's the problem? He said, I haven't got the money. Tomorrow I have to pay so and so person. So she took the phone. She made a phone call and she told him, you go sleep. So he thought she phoned the father maybe to get the money. She phoned the brother. He asked, who you phoned? He said, I phoned the man who you're supposed to pay tomorrow. I just told him, tomorrow my husband hasn't got the money, don't phone. She said, now he'll be awake, you can sleep now. Similarly, a lot of times someone who got ta'alluq with the sheikh, he got so much problems in life, but he thinks that the dua of the sheikh will sort out all his problems. So what he does, he sends a phone call to the sheikh, I got this problem, that problem, what must I do? So remember, a sheikh, a murabbi, a guide, is never ever going to be helping you out of your problems. Every man walks with his own problem. But what makes us so weak is that there is one cup we have in front of us. As long as our eye doesn't fall on that cup, then we will always find, I got the worst problems in life. What is that cup? It is called the cup of Iman. So that sheikh, that person told him, I got this problem, that problem, every problem. He told him, I want you to carry this cup. And that cup was full. And he told him, you will walk through a certain area, but you make sure that nothing spills. If it doesn't spill, all your problems will be sorted out. And everyone wants. And he sent him through the very market, which before this he could never pass without his eyes falling on girls, without his desires going towards wealth. But because today his eye was on that cup, that if this cup remains full till the end, I'm out of all my problems. Because his eye was on that cup, he walked through. The woman on the side became like trees. The wealth and the desires on the side became like nothing. His eye was on one thing, the cup. Our cup is called the cup of Iman. If we can put our eye on that cup, that no matter what happens in this world, it mustn't spill, then you will see all the problems around us suddenly just die. We are living in a time of inqilab. Inqilab means there's a revolution taking place in the world. A revolution of non-Muslims entering into Islam in droves and droves. But there is a system that Allah Tabarak Ta'ala mentioned in Quran, that مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهِ بِقَوْمٍ. That when some people will become murtad, will leave Islam, then nations and nations will be brought into Islam. At the moment we are finding nations and nations being brought in, which means that there are also those people leaving Islam. Now we were the ones who were fortunate that we got it at the beginning. It mustn't happen that there was one person at the bottom of the house, and for 20 years he remained in a life of evil, doing filth and dirt, and his brother who was upstairs was a life of piety for 20 years. And every now and then he would become irritated with his brother at the bottom, that why can't he change his life? And the time came, Allah Tabaruk Tala speaks in Surah Waqiyah, that on the day of Qiyamah, خَافِدَةٌ رَافِعَةٌ, that on that day some people who are high in the world will be brought down, and some people who are down will be brought up. In this world also that happens. Sometimes there are those non-Muslims, whole life they in a world of filth, and Allah Pak brings them up. And sometimes there are those who are sitting on top, and they brought down. So that brother 20 years on top, whatever happened, and this is the decree of Almighty Allah, this is carrying that cup. But we can easily speak here, but no one knows whose cup can spill. So something came in the heart of the brother at the bottom, after 20 years, that I'm fed up with this life. And let me go upstairs, and tell my brother, teach me Tawbah. And the brother at the top, something came in his heart. That for so many years, my young brother at the bottom is enjoying life. My life is boring at the moment. So let me go down and see which girl is there with him. As that one started coming down, he slipped. This one was going up. As that one rolled, he tumbled into the brother at the bottom. Whoever wrote the story wrote that two people passed away. At the ending, who was on top came down. And the one who was on the top was taken up. 20 years on evil, one last intention was made where he went. He never saw that goodness. It shouldn't happen that we're sitting on top. Because those that don't have Iman and Islam, they're living in darkness. When a person is in darkness, he knows he's in darkness. One person writes that he's running on a website, a Muslim website. So he writes on the website, someone sent a message to him that I'm a girl living in Australia. I'm Lebanese. Since my father and mother, whatever happened, happened, they landed up in Australia, and after a while they separated. So I was left in Australia to grow up, and they went away back to Lebanon. One, she's Arab, and in a Western world, an Arab always shines out more than the rest. So she was put into university, she's writing, her age is 22. And she explains that I'm living a life of drugs, a life of dancing. She had won the beauty pageant at the time. She says, I spend the nights in the bar, the mornings in the university. And with my boyfriend, I have done whatever can be done. And he says, the other day I visited one Pakistani family, and on that site, I saw someone was discussing modesty. Now think of this. We have heard the issue of modesty so many times, but think when it affected us. But when Allah Tabaruk Tala looks at an individual and says, change, the change comes. And that's what we must be wishing. That it mustn't happen that our cup spills, and it fills up somebody else's cup. Because that's how it is. When someone comes in the house, you will go to Hilton, you will go to any hotel, you go for Umrah or Hajj. So when you enter, you go to the reception. At the reception, they tell you, just wait, someone is checking out, then we will allow you to check in. That's how the system is. When people are checking in, it means people are also checking out. You go on the internet, you will see many people with the name of Ahmed, Muhammad have written. Just the other day one friend said to me, his friend in university or someone close, Muslim family from around the area, doing sociology, social sciences, what they call humanism in university. One semester passes, so he sends a message to his parents on the phone, that this is just to tell you all that today, I am so glad that I have left Islam. I have finally found my freedom. What a sentence. Whereas on the other side, that Muslim is, non-Muslim is saying, I finally found something. So the woman says, I saw on that side modesty. That's all she saw. She said, I went home and I started feeling uneasy. So she writes one question, that after so many years in filth, if I have to make tawbah, is there any chance? And that question, it comes in the ahadith, but we'll never ever think someone will ask it. But the people who are in darkness do ask. That can I ever change? So the sheikh, he answers like how he answers normal bayan. He says, definitely there's time for change. And you answer, you don't think ever it's going to really work. But he says, 3 days later, this girl writes another letter. She says, I have left my boyfriend, I have left the bar, and I have given that beauty pageant title back. So please make dua for me. And 3 days later, she writes a letter that I have gone into full niqab. And this is something to think about. For sometimes it takes us so many years just to hold on to this beard. For a woman who grew up in Islam, who never saw the filth of the world, to put on that niqab sometimes takes a whole life. Half. But for that person whose Allah's eye falls on, it takes one day. How she changed? Niqab. And then he says 3 days later, she writes a letter, another letter, that I want to learn Quran. Can you send me any audio CDs? So this is how the change takes place. And 3 days later, she writes a letter that there was a pain on my side, so I went to the doctors, and they have diagnosed me, I think most likely it was with brain cancer. So look at this. So then she writes that I am going for my appointment today. The doctor has said 20% chance of survival. So someone, she put this on the site, so someone, one non-Muslim, he made a quote, he made a comment, that what a fine gift from God, that when she turned towards him, he knocked her with cancer. So other people responded that, you know what, you keep your mouth shut. But her answer responded the best. She wrote there, I am not asking for dua. Because normally when we get sick, what we do? Everyone says, hey, make dua. I mustn't die. She says, I'm writing this, not asking for dua. But to inform you that I am happy to meet my Creator. And she says, 3 weeks ago, I never knew Allah. And then she writes that, if I live, I will support you. But if I die, try to find my mother and explain to her daughter's condition. And then she passed away. And he says she was buried in a Muslim cemetery, whereas no one knew her. But where she got? So revolution is taking place. At the moment, the other day, one friend from England sent a clip where they were having a discussion because after the Paris attacks. So the reporter is taking this report and then they're explaining some issues. So they say at the moment what the statistics are showing, and they went to interview the churches that why so many people are leaving Christianity. Some are falling into atheism, others are accepting Islam. The last sentence of that reporter was that if it has to continue at this rate, in the next 10 years, there will be more Muslims in the United Kingdom than any other faith. There will be more Muslims. Who and who are coming? But as I told you, as they come, then there's always the fear that some are going also. Which one father said, I'm so scared about the future of Islam. So I explained to him that in this verse where Allah Tawarukala said, don't worry of the future of Islam. Because if some leave, there are going to be dozens more coming in. So there's no fear for the future of Islam. There's a future for our Islam. That we don't know whether we will be remaining on it. For which reason that worry of that cup must always be there. When you are in a world of darkness, someone puts the light, you get thrilled. That's the condition of non-Muslims. They see light. One woman accepted Islam, so she wrote a letter to all her friends. Those that she knew, those that she never knew, a general letter. She said, I'm writing this letter to explain to everyone around that it was because of all of y'all that I accepted the faith. Even perhaps you don't know it. She said, "Oh, some Muslim sisters, the way you all walked attracted me, but you don't know it." He says, "There were some of you who I approached with a question, even though you never know the answer. But because you were convinced that you were on the right faith, that also affected me." So she says, "I'm saying this, that don't ever be shy about your faith. Because for us to accept Islam, it needs a lot of push. And everyone gives that push. So no matter what you do, you are also helping in that push. Wherever you are, a non-Muslim sees you. You might not change that man's life immediately, but you will be a big help in changing him. Just to act like a Muslim. Be happy about your Islam. The world is going through a revolution. They're looking for that light. But then on the other side, there is the fear that we grew up in a light house. From the time we grew up, we never saw darkness. So we became so used to light that we thought darkness doesn't exist, but it exists. That is why when our light starts going dim also, it doesn't make any effect on us. Because we don't understand there is something called darkness. But if it happens that our light goes off, then the chance of it coming on again is very, very low. That's where the worry is. They are in darkness, so as soon as they see even a glimmer of light, they jump for it. But because we're living in light, we're happy however we are. I got my girl on one side, I got my drugs on the other side. I got everything. We're living in a funny life. Where everything goes. One friend told me the other day, so it made me laugh a little. But I just thought, what a funny world. So he says, this girl is a good girl. And she is a good girl, it sounded. So he said, even she wakes up for tahajjud. And she says, and she phones me for fajr also. At least it was a good thing. Subhanallah, right? But that's how it is. At the moment we half-half. And it's at least good. At least you're waking up someone for fajr. But there's a time to come back full. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke on that manzar of the yama. And this is what is called that light. If the light goes off, it goes off in this world. But you'll see it tomorrow. When a person is put in the grave, you'll see darkness. See, darkness at night is night because you sleep well. But why you sleep well? Because you know around you there's nothing. Let that one mosquito wake buzz in the dark, you'll jump for the light. When there is darkness and you hear something around you, finished. The grave is dark. If there is no light, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on that day when man will stand in front of Almighty Allah, then Jannah will be brought front. But to get to that Jannah, we will have to cross what is called that bridge, what we call Sirat. And it will be a very long bridge. And it will be a very dangerous walk. وَإِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. This is what is meant. Every person will enter Jahannam. Because you will enter the arena of Jahannam. This is that arena. This will be a walk that perhaps we never thought about before. But it will be a walk. Before this walk, like some people, they're so happy, like, that Allah will forgive me. So on that day when people will go to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and say, open the door of Jannah. You are the Khalil, a friend of Almighty Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ibrahim alayhi salam will say, in the world I was Khalil. From behind the scenes I was Khalil. Here we in front of Almighty Allah, don't even mention my name. Then you'll understand that here it's no one's talk. And then the scenes will start. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when that sirat will be put up, that bridge, and there is Jannah there. Now what will happen in Jannah? When you will see Jannah in front, who are you going to see? People who like buildings will see buildings. People who like phones will see phones. People who like girls will see girls. Now when you see that woman of Jannah, and it will be a time when your shahwa will be taken to its height. You had enough rest in the qabr. Now you think, in sometimes that boy comes and says to you that, I can't manage without her. If a parent is not going to allow nikah, we're going to do something haram. Make a private nikah. So we tell him, you can make sabr. Everyone says, I can't make sabr. It's a lie. Because on that day when that hoor is on that side, and you on this side, and that man says, wah. But he's told to cross. as he comes and he sees the sirat, and he looks down, and he sees the fire, that fire will make all your shahwat go cold. Then even if that hoor says, come quickly, night is not going to last long. You won't even hear her. You want to go, but immediately you look down. What if I fall? Similarly, in this world, there is that fire under. Jahannam is burning. Only we don't see it. Because we don't see it, our shahwat, our desire can't get cold. Because we don't believe there is something. So on the two sides of this bridge now, amanat will be brought. Amanat means trust. And why trust will be brought? That as you walk past, trust will look at you and say, were you trustworthy? Which has become a game today. Who can lie the best? Think about that. On that day you have to walk past trust. You have to walk past him. And on the other side, what is called ar-rahim, family ties. You'll have fights with your brothers, with your sisters, with your family, with everyone. Fights are allowed. But make up. Forget your fight. Every night when you sit, when you're going to sleep, then just think that if I die, I am walking over Jahannam. On one side will be family ties. He'll ask me, did you sort out the last matter? Did I sort it out? And on the other side will be trustworthiness. Don't lie. Be brave. If something we did wrong, speak the truth. Take it on our shoulders. The world has become a lying world. Everyone is lying today. We have to walk. But the part I wanted to mention is as we're walking, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the walk will start. That some people will go over that thing like the speed of lightning. It's like how the eye just opens and closes, you're gone. May Allah tabarakala make that we go like it. For it to be the speed of lightning, it means that there has to be a very long bridge. Because if it had to be from year till year, and you tell someone, get in your car and hit on 200, you smash into the wall. Say, I need space. But if there is space, then you can tell him, hit it. For some people to go with the speed of lightning over that bridge, it means that that bridge has to be so huge that it needs the speed of light to pass. But now what happens when you don't have the speed of light? Now there will be the next group that will come that will go with the speed of the wind. But it's not the speed of light still. As you go, you will be noticing. The aeroplane moves very fast. The car also moves fast. But when you see that aeroplane moving, that car says, I've got a long journey. It's not coming. Durban is 500. But it's not coming. The aeroplane reached already. When the speed of light had to reach, even the speed of wind is not going so fast. And then there will be those with the speed of rain. Then there will be those with the speed of birds. It sounds fast, but it's not fast. And then there will be those on the speed of a running man, but a running man. But that running man, you can call the best runner in the world and tell him, make the 100 meter sprint, he'll make it. But tell him, carry on sprinting, you got the speed of light to finish. That time you'll see all the leg power will go. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it will be the engine of actions that will be pushing man. If your engine packs up, on that day light will be the thing man will look for. When you're in your car, the first thing you see, normally one person said, hey, Maulana got two qualities. Nowadays he has the best of phone, but he has no airtime. Always. You ask him on the phone, someone says, I got the number, but you got airtime, I got no airtime. And he said, second thing, petrol in his car. For some reason, the alim's petrol always shows empty. For whatever reason. But on that day, your first eye will go on your gauge. That do I have enough to make it? There are certain countries in the world that that aeroplane, it can't make the journey over the water. So they have to land to refuel. Otherwise they can't make it. If there is no refueling from that height, that whole thing comes down. And when you're on that top, and you're moving over Jahannam, and you're looking at your gauge, on that day you will understand what is called light. Worry of this light of Iman. It's going to pull man through. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, people then, their actions will die. Meaning there will be those people whose tanks will pack up. He says, and I will see those who will fall on their backs now. Where we understood this, we went for one journey. So some friends said, let's go mountain climbing. So on that mountain climbing, they got a system that you always hooked. That you have two hooks. If the one hook is released, the other one has to hold on. It's supposed to be layered, but this one wasn't layered. That's why it was a little bit more scary. It's supposed to be that you can't unhook both, because if you unhook both, you can go. So it's supposed to be if one is hooked, the other one cannot be unhooked. If one is unhooked, the other one has to be locked. So then wherever you are, sometimes they tell you, look down. Now you're high on the mountain, but when you look down, there's one thing in your mind, I can't fall. So you look down and look up again. They say, look at the scenery, you don't look but. Although you know I can't fall. But when you look down, you see nothing. At that time, if your friend is in front, or if your son is in front, he also, you know, he can't fall. On that journey, we knew that we could fall because the thing wasn't working right. So when you look at that person, one dua you're making that, oh Allah, I hope I read my dua in the morning today that we won't die today. But at that time, then I thought of this hadith, where it comes that as man will be walking over that sirat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will be standing there and making one dua, Ya Rabbi Sallim Sallim. That, oh Allah, please my ummah, save them, save them. Because there they won't be the two hooks. That you tell the person, make sure you're hooked. There won't be that hook. Here you won't know whose gauge is going. That moment if you look down, what you're going to see? And it's dark. It will be light like a torch. That will be your light. Now that one person who falls, so sometimes on that mountain climbing, you get one, two people who can't make the journey then. Because the long is about 4 hours. So as climbing, a certain person says, I can't do it. And he falls down. So now the others are helping him, saying, coming, the end is in sight, we're almost there. But on that line, no one is going to pull you. See, I see those people who will fall, and then they will be crawling on the behinds. Now imagine you making a crawl on your behind, to cross a distance which is called the speed of light. And if it had only been that there, that itself is Jahannam itself. More than enough. And on the sides there is the fire coming up. And behind you you're hearing someone falling. In front of you you're hearing someone falling because it's dark. And as that person is falling, you just hear screaming into nothingness. You went to a certain area which is called volcanic area. So that volcano goes down deep into the earth, empty. So you take a stone and you throw it. And where you thought so quickly the stone will hit the bottom, you see now it's not hitting, it's just moving into nothingness. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, when those people will fall, he says 70 years it might take for the man to reach the depths. So one is the punishment of just falling. And one is the punishment of hearing one man screaming as he's falling. Because if he slept, I can also slip. What's coming in front? Normally when you're on these journeys, the first thing you look up, you see someone made it. So because he made it, you got that himmat. But on that day, you will see Lord not making it. It will be a done. That day, have that day in mind. Worry about the scup. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as they are walking, there will be those hooks that will be moving. When we were small, we played what was called the chili games. Or the games you have in the shop, you put 20 cents and you play that game. So what is that game? As you walk, then you get this one hook, so you stop, and the hook passes and you go. Then you go to a hole and you jump. Like a small baby. But you know if you die, you just press continue, finished. You start again. It only costs 20 cents. But this will be a real game. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said there will be hooks moving. So one will be that wari, one will be the distance, but one will be that hooks. And as they are moving, now you stop, just missed. That itself will be adab. And it will be told who to knock. It will be told who to just make scared. It will be told who to just wazbas. For everyone a certain amount of adab will be written. Nabi Sansam said there will be those makhdush. They will be scratched. Najin, but they will make it across. But that scratches itself will be the adab. Just missed me. I'm bleeding already. Just missed me. I'm already shivering. And there will be those mukaradasun. There will be those who will be knocked over. And their azab might only be the fall into Jahannam. Just the fall itself. There might be those as soon as they reach Jahannam, Almighty Allah might take them out. But it will be after 70 years plus. That day is coming. So don't ever love what this thing that, you know what, life is just to enjoy. Because I got my iman. It's not going to go off my globe. Globes are going off. We're seeing it. And we're seeing it in good families. And we're seeing people who are born in the houses of Azar and Firaun. They are entering into Islam in droves. And people who are being born in the houses of Nuh, they are going into the waters. It's happening, it happened and it's happening. People in good families. A boy who grew up with the television says, I'm not watching anymore. A boy whose father never allowed him to see the television. He's seeing more movies than everyone else. He got the computer, he got his friends, he got it on his phone, he saw it all. Because every person has to worry of himself. So the one who saw darkness, when he found light, he said, wow, I don't want to ever go back. But I'm worried about us. That we never saw that darkness. We grew up in light. So we shouldn't be, we start thinking there is nothing called darkness. And then we say, let's see what's on the other side of life. And one slip and it's all gone. Everything gone. One person coming downstairs and it's gone. The one downstairs, he was going upstairs. So for that there are certain things that a person must worry about. We're living in an era, what in my understanding is called the real era of what is called evil. This is, if you're looking for the end of times, this is the end of times. This is an era that was mentioned throughout that it's going to be the worst. This is an era where the Jali power has reached its heights. And whatever could be thought about or was never thought about, everything opened up. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a certain few guidelines. And it's something to think about. While I was writing about this issue of the Jal, then certain narrations came in front of me. So the one narration pulled my eye. In the kitab which is called the Sunan of Dani, he brings a narration of Hassan al-Basri, rahimullah. And the 3 points that he mentions can be found in many other ahadiths, but the way he mentioned it, and I thought about it, and I said, this is really what's happening today. 3 points where the Jali Shaitani forces are hitting everyone. The first point, Hassan Basri said, Buni al-Islamu ala thalathatin. And think nicely of these 3 points. He said, Islam's bunyad, your house is based on 3 things. Look after these 3 things, your imarat won't fall to the ground. Buni al-Islamu ala thalatha. He said, the first thing is al-jihadu. Madin munzu ba'atha nabiyahu ila akhiri fi'atin min al-muslimin. التي تقاتل الدجال لا ينقذه جور من جار. He said, the first thing is, what is the issue of jihad? He said, this jihad issue came with the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it will go till the ending, until the final army will defeat Dajjal, and the oppressor will never be able to stop jihad. In the past, there was that effort made in the world to ban jihad. So there was a man called Mirza Ghulam Qadiani. In a Muslim land, he came up and he passed a fatwa that there is no need to fight the English anymore because they Yajuj Majuj. And you can't fight Yajuj Majuj. For whatever reason, he wrote that. And it was to put everyone in confusion that no jihad. So that passed and it got nothing to do with us. But in our time, the enemy made the opposite attack. The opposite attack was, if you can't stop jihad, then change the concept of jihad. And they brought about a new jihad called terrorism. And they understand young boys, they like the slashy, flashy stuff. And in the name of ISIS and whichever groups that had to come out, they brought a jihad which taught every young boy, your job is to kill everyone. Just blow up. You blow up, your granny blow up. Lord boy said, I got so much shahwat, I can't manage. So just blow up with your girlfriend, both will go Jannah. It's not going to happen. You have to love in this world. You have to love with truthfulness, with honesty. But flashy cars. Does ISIS caught so many youngsters for what reason? that ISIS moves in the world in new Toyotas. Because the Toyota is smart. Suddenly it means this is the jihad I want to be in. They got smart guns, smart cars, and they got girls around them. Slave girls, I think everyone's eyes open up. I can have a slave girl, especially Gujaratis. They know after one wife, you can't get another wife. But slave girls, you can get lots. So they change the concept of jihad. Don't fall for what you see on Google. What you see on the internet. What you see a man cutting someone's throat. These are all movies. It doesn't happen in real life. If they had to do it, they did it as a movie. And movie people are evil people. So they changed the concept of jihad. Jihad is a true and it's a pure institute. And it will never be stopped by any enemy. But unfortunately, many youngsters are losing their lives in the wrong type. And what was never known as jihad. So that was one. The second, Nabi Hassan Basri said that you respect the people of La ilaha illallah. And you never ever label any one of them with kufr, bidhambin, because of any evil that he had committed. And maybe in the past you would never have mentioned this. But in our country, South Africa today, a competition has started of labeling everyone as kafir. Everyone. Because of sin. He said, respect the people of La ilaha illallah. Don't be fast with the gun of kufr. You have to worry of your own glass. As that man is walking with his glass, so worried, my glass mustn't spill. You haven't got time to look at everybody else and say, you like this, and you like that, and you like that. Worry of your glass. There are many issues which are called mukhtalafi. Mukhtalafi in which there is ikhtilaf. In those issues, our akabir had an attitude. And I'm mentioning this more for the students of the madrasa than everyone else. That a day will come when you will be the ulama. But young ulama today are known as trigger happy. That our job was to bring the world into Jannah. We're pushing everyone out of Jannah. Don't be trigger happy. Don't talk so wild against other ulama because you don't know about your own cup. There was one group I was sitting with. They were criticizing a lot. We do criticize television. And we do criticize that our people must not come on television. But we never criticize a personality. Never hit on an individual. Never say he. If you have to criticize, criticize the action in general without the man. So I was with that group of people who were upset with the man. But then the very same people, when they had the chance in the lion park or in the Kruger park to see a lion, they also took out their phones and they started one way. See, one of the whole fatwa changed. That what's haram for him became halal for me. It was like that one Pathan. He saw one man was urinating towards Qibla. He gave him one smack. It was a non-Muslim Hindu. Punched him. He said, you got no respect for my Kaaba. Qibla is in that direction. Poor Hindu never knew which direction. After a while, he saw Pathan was urinating towards Qibla. He said, you're doing the same thing I did the other day. He said, it's my Qibla, not your Qibla. I can do what I want. You can't do. That's how we are today. I can do it all on my phone. Everything. But when he does it, wow. Worry of your cup. This is not a game we're playing with Almighty Allah. It should not be where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that sometimes you shoot the word of kufr on someone and it bounces back on the individual. The game of fisk. He's like this, he's like that, he's like that. There was a time when our ulama used to teach respect. They taught respect of the other ulama so much that they warned the people don't fall into what is called maududiyat, where they were slandering all the ulama. Then there was a time in South Africa where there was a newspaper coming out, Al-Qalam. He used to write unique articles against the ulama, funny, funny articles. He also went. And now it seems when those went, we took the job ourselves. That everyone now has become a writer. So there are a lot of things to write about, but with respect. If you lose adab, you lose it all. And now don't think of somebody else. As I told you, every one of us have to cross that sirat. When we're crossing, we're not going to look at the one in front and say, I told you mustn't do this. You're going to look at yourself. Don't do it. I must not do it. I have to worry of my glass. So that is true. Don't ever fall into the law of criticism. Worry of your own. There's a way of criticizing with adab. Criticize an action, not an individual. But majority, worry of your cup. Never ever mock. When we were young, we were taught, if you find an alim who's not of your type, then you must regard him like a Quran that got errors in it. That because of the errors in that Quran, you don't take the Quran and throw it down. You still kiss that Quran, because it's Quran in the end of the day. The only thing is you don't read that Quran. You put it one side and you put a mark that this Quran got errors. Respect the men of knowledge like that. Our akabir would say, if a man speaks bad of ulama, I guarantee you, if you open up his qabr, you might find his face has turned away from Qibla. That was in the past. Today it's an open game. This respect has gone. Get back that respect. No one knows how he's going to cross that sirat. So these are two. And the third point, Hasan al-Basri, which is for the general. He said, and it's based on taqdeer. The first was, they don't, jihad is going to be unique till the ending. Don't spoil jihad. The second one was, don't make the labels of kufr and fisk and evil for everyone. And the third was taqdeer. He said, have firm belief in taqdeer. What he meant is that there will be many things of iman which you will not understand. And shaitan will make an effort in that exact spot that you must understand it. That was the reason why that boy wrote that message, I left iman. When he was in university, he took a course in what is called social sciences. Sociology. Sociology, they call it humanism. Whatever the teacher must have taught in that humanism. One friend told me, I'm not in that course, but because of my course for about 6 months, I just had to do little but once a week or something. He said, just so little but. At the ending of that year, I was confused about my aqidah. This is a university. It is not only us saying it. In the Christian world, they all are complaining that these majors that are in universities, that you have to take this course. He says these majors are robbing people of their faith. People are going. On this, I thought of that narration when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sami'a minkum bid-dajjal falyana'min." That a time will come where a man will hear of Dajjal. So let him stay far. In my understanding, it came what is known as the university. Many others, but the university is one big one. He says, because a man will say, I'll also go, trusting his faith. Who goes? The father trusts the son. And he says, you can go university, no problem. Because I sent you to Maktab when you were young, nothing happened. And what happens? Everything happens. Universities and school was created as shaitani poison, that we all know. From the time the Khilafat broke, and European education was made standard for the world, the only reason that we got protected, which maybe we never thought about, and remember this for your children, was in our countries. See, Turkey also had universities and schools. And we also had it. And it was the same education. But the result was in Turkey, within 30 years, that Mustafa Kemal managed to take people out of a khilafat into atheism. They all lost it. And today again they're coming out slowly, slowly. They lost it. Why we never lose it? What saved us? What saved us was the 2 hours of maktab in the afternoon, which perhaps you never thought about. The reason when you went to that maktab is, you had to read Quran. Even though you never wanted to. That Quran would wipe out that poison that was being put in that university, in that school. Although you never saw the poison. The one who never had the Quran, he saw it. He lost it all. What happens when the boy comes to university? He gets no Quran. When he loses Quran, you can lose it all. Don't leave your Quran. Don't leave. So they will put doubts in you regarding the issues which you can't understand. One of the main issues is taqdeer. One of the issues is Allah. How is Allah? What was before Allah? So the answer to all of this is what is called iman. Iman means that I believe without understanding. No matter how many answers you will give to shaitan, this is one answer that he cannot give a question after. Because if someone asks you a question and your answer is, I don't know, he can't ask you the second question. Finished. Because the answer was, I don't know. One of the best answers you tell the person when you ask you the question, I don't know, ask him. Finished. Now you can go. Sometimes a person comes, you can see in his eyes he wants to argue. He's a bull. So he tells you, you know this here. You say, no, he knows it. Finished. You walk away. Finished. Normally we have that. Alhamdulillah, a lot of responsibility in the madrasa is done by a lot of people. So in charge of the khanka, my brother has taken a big role. But nothing is easy. So sometimes someone walks up to me. And you can see in his eye he wants to start something about the khanka. So I just say, no, he's in charge. You can have your breakfast in ease. Why are you going to break head with that uncle? Similarly, don't fight shaitan. Leave him. When he comes to you, tell him, he knows the answer. Finished. Don't answer. No answer is the best answer. And that man will never have any problem. Because iman means to believe without understanding. Why can't you understand? Because the Zat of Almighty Allah is not against understanding, it's beyond understanding. You will never understand Almighty Allah. Just like how small utensils can never take big things. A bucket can say, bring the ocean in me. He can't manage it, but it will burst. Similarly, his mind will never manage Almighty Allah. That is why Almighty Allah's place is in the heart. You will understand Allah in the heart. You will never understand in the mind. So 3 points. And then to end off, those were 3 points you mentioned. Your imarat is on it. Look after it. One is, don't ever hit people with labels. The second is taqdeer, and things that you don't understand, don't bother about it. Be happy. Don't fall in tension. Don't fall in depression. Live a happy life, a smiling life. Shaitan doesn't like to see a believer smiling. Smile. Your enemy doesn't want to see you smiling. What you do? You smile at him. If you know someone is making jadu on you, what's the best thing to do? You take a picture of your lips, smiling. Not of your face. Face is not allowed, but the lips. You just take it, and if you can't get a smile, you so much of tension in jadu, take somebody else's lips and send it to him. And I'm smiling. Your enemy doesn't want to see a smile. Shaitan hates the smile. So you see people living in a sense of depression, sadness. Oh, life sad. Live a happy life. But worry of your glass. Worry of the glass. And the jihad issue, don't fall for the wrong jihad. Thereafter, as I was ending that book on writing on Dajjal, there was a few narrations which I looked at. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, how will man be saved from Dajjal? So there were 3 things that I saw was unique. One was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, I am leaving behind you Quran. Hold on to Quran. So there are those who know the meaning of Quran, Mubarak to them, but read Quran. Those that don't know the meaning, read Quran. Lot of our people understand reading Quran is reading Surah Yasin, reading Surah Waqia. That's not meant by reading Quran. Reading Quran is you start from the beginning. Even if it means only half page a day. Even if it means quarter page a day. Read something. And there are those people who don't know how to touch a Quran. So for them we say on your phone get the application Quran. For those who got a Quran, don't go for application. But for those who never saw Quran, take that application and read Quran. You don't need wuzu to hold the phone. But when the application is on, then have wuzu. When the application is on, the better view is have wuzu then. And then read Quran. Try to stay in a state of wudu, but read. Even if your reading is what is known as frot. Frot means that if your wife has to hear you, then she'll close her ears. Like one person gave adhan. So his adhan wasn't very good. So one father came, non-Muslim father, he came to the masjid to find out who's that guy who gave the adhan. So that's self. Normally when you hear someone saying, where is he, where is he? Don't always think they're coming to praise you. You give a bayan and you hear someone saying, where's the Maulana? You walk out. You don't wait. It could be praise, it could be no praise. If it's praise, you'll get the news after. If it's not praise, it's better you're not there. So that man came, where's that Muazzin? That Muazzin looked up like he got thrilled. Like, at least someone finally praised me. He said, my daughter was on the verge of accepting Islam. Today she heard that Adhan, she said, no way. But that's Adhan for public. But even if your Quran sounds like that, a lot of people feel shy then to read. Rasulullah said, Quran is different. He said, Almighty Allah has appointed angels whose job is to change the recitation and to make it unique before it reaches by Almighty Allah. What was the purpose of that? To say, don't be shy with reading Quran. Even if it's not sounding right, you're making your effort, but read something. Quran takes out poison. That was one. The second Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said is the Sunnah. What is known as the Sunnah, and he explained it in unique words. He said, Wa ahlu bayti. He said, Wa itrati. He says, what my family teach you. And the family is not what the Shia say is the family. But the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam meant the family. Family means those that were close to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Usman radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, they were the household. The first two were the father-in-laws, so in and out. The second two were the son-in-laws, in and out. There was Fatima radiallahu anha, but she passed away very shortly after. Then they were the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They spent the nights when nobody else were around, in and out, in and out. Then there were a few Sahaba who were known as people of the house. They were in and out, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what you learn from them, hold on to it. He never asked anyone to become what is known as Ahl al-Quran. When I was in England, one girl, a father came to say, my daughter is confused. Because why? Everyone wants to be intelligent. So when I went to ask her, there was parada, obviously I had to ask for parada. She was a girl very high in Islamic knowledge, but perhaps she never knew there's something called parada. So then she went behind in the kitchen, I made her, and I told her, okay, ask your question. So she said, I don't believe in the Sunnah. I am a girl of Quran only. I asked her why, she said, because Sunnah was composed. It wasn't protected. So there's a long story and an explanation. So I just, one thought came in my mind. So I said, definitely you don't believe in Sunnah. So you follow Quran to the T. She said, I follow it to the T. So I said, there's one verse in the Quran where Almighty Allah says that any person who keeps gold and silver, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ والفضة لا ينفقونها في سبيل الله فبشرهم بعذاب أليم. And any person who keeps gold and silver and doesn't spend it in the path of Allah, going to Jahannam. So I said, how much gold you got at the moment? So she said, it doesn't come in Quran. So I said, if I show you the verse in Quran, will you give me your jewelry? I said, I'll take it. I got no problem. When you give it to me. She even said she'll give it to me, but she never gave it to me after this. She even said she'll give it to me. Then she went. She brought that Quran. And then she said, it means zakat. I said, how do you know it says written on the side? I said, you follow Quran. Translate it. Quiet. So Nabi also never said become what is known as person of Quran. And neither he said become Ahle Hadith, a person of Hadith also. Which many young people come. You'll find them, they're so high in Islam, but to show they're high in Islam, they've got two traits. One is they'll come in the masjid. One is the topi obviously has gone from Lord people. But when they make that Allahu Akbar, they make it so big that their legs open and their hands open. There's no way place left for you. So don't do that. If you have to open your legs, don't knock somebody else off the ground. Easy. But you don't have to show the world that I'm a new Muslim. I know the road, nobody else knows it. There's no need for that. Everyone, respect everyone. So he never said become a man. You just come in, you throw your book on the ground. And say, Allah Akbar. Respect the world around you. So he never asked for Ahl Hadith. He asked, be a man of Sunnah. So one was Quran, one was Sunnah. And the third thing which was I found the most unique was the narration where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if the Dajjal is to come out, and this is an era where it has come out, he said, Wa ana hayyun, and look at this. He said, if I am alive at that time, يَكْفِيكُمُوهُ اللَّهُ بِهِ. That Almighty Allah will suffice the believers with me. And that we all understand. That if the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was around, no one will have a problem. He will be in the front of the armies. But the time was going to come where he was going to tell the ummah, I'm not going to be around. But look what he put in his place. He said, and if I pass away before that time, then he said, فَسَيَكْفِيكُمُوهُ اللَّهُ بِالصَّالِحِينَ. That Almighty Allah will suffice the Muslim ummah through a group of men who are known as pious. In that, understand the value of what is called the people of piety. That they were put in the same line of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in fighting the Dajjal. In today's time, whoever got protected, in the past, whoever got protected, in the future, whoever got protected, is because they had a certain link with the people of piety. You look for that link. Wherever you can find, find a man of piety. Don't be like my friend who found a girl of piety and she said, wake you up, Fajr. Find a man of piety. Find someone of salah. Because light affects light. One draws to the other. Mulana Rum Rahimullah said, you want your horse to run fast. You don't have to hit it hard. Just put it running with the other horses and it will run. Find someone who you feel that this man is a man of piety. In the end of the day, no one can say, I am pious. Because everyone knows his inside. But Almighty Allah has left the decision on the individual. That a man who you feel is a man of piety, that man will take you to places you can never imagine. Find someone. Don't be shy. Find someone. You find a person and you're ready to direct relate with him, directly relate. If you don't want direct relationship, indirect relationship, he doesn't have to know you, you have to know him. But find someone. I like this person, then listen to his bayanat. See if he has written anything. See where he has majalis. He doesn't have to know you, you have to know him. But find. Many a time in the past, people would say, we are allergic to this. That when you tell someone, look for the company of the pious, then our minds would go to that it means that an old sheikh with a long beard and a tasbih that is longer than the beard. When you will go to him, he'll tell you, read Subhanallah so many times, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, there'll be no time for life. That's not asked for. What's asked for is find a man who you feel is a man of piety. That's, listen when he talks. Follow what he says. Just have love for him. Because there will be some people on the day of Qiyamah, just on account of love they had for the pious, their work will get done. Haji Imdadullah Rahimullah, someone told him that you're taking bayat left, right and center. That everyone is coming and saying, Haji Sahib, make me bayat. And this is not a law that we're saying, don't do this. Make an effort. But just listen to this. So his friend said that everyone who say, Haji Sahib, make me bayat, you're just making them bayat. So he says that, one thought came to me. What he meant, that thought was that Almighty Allah had put a thought in his heart. There's no guarantee on this thought, remember that. There's no guarantee for anyone. But look at this. It is called the appreciation Almighty Allah has for someone loving the pious. Love the pious. Respect them. Don't mock them. He says, a thought came in my heart that whichever person's hand comes on the hand of me, with the pledge of allegiance, and he wants to change, because it comes in the Quran, وَمَن يَخْرُج مِن بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتُ. That if a man goes out searching for Almighty Allah and the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he dies on that path, like how many people say, I made death, but I'm not changing. But while in that path you die, فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then Almighty Allah said, I'll give him his rewards. Will give it. He says, a thought came in my heart that whoever's hand touches the hand of Haji Sahib in death, then at the time of death, Almighty Allah will take him with Iman. He said, in the hope that the thought is right, anyone who's coming and saying, make better, making them bad. In the hope that the thought is right. There's no guarantee for anyone. But there is a certain appreciation Almighty Allah got. For which reason Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, with the sulaha, Almighty Allah will save man from Dajjal. Find someone who is what is called salih, someone of piety. Link up, and there are many in the world. Find someone in your area, someone around you, someone you can relate to. And Allah tabarak ta'ala inshallah will take us very, very far. And Allah tabarak ta'ala make us always worry of our cup. It mustn't spill. I got no guarantee, you got no guarantee. With worry we walk on this road, every day looking at that cup. Every night saying, oh Allah, let it not spill. Whatever I did wrong today, make me maaf, forgive me. And walk in this road with fear also and with hope. And inshallah we will go very far.